Number 197.
Oh God, what chords of
as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Pray. Father, we're here with a group of Christians here around thyself, around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, with a desire on our hearts, and that is to hear thy word presented before us. Pray that these would not be nice words, these would not be good words, but that these would be thy word which would be presented before us. That each one who would take part, take that responsibility, would speak as the oracles of God, would not present their own thoughts, but would present thy thoughts. That each one of us who would be sitting as in audience would have our ears open, that we might listen to what thou would say to us and apply it to our own lives and be exercised by it. We pray for this. We ask that the Spirit not be quenched. And we look to thee. Our eyes are upon thee, to see what thou wouldst have for us. So we look to thee for this. We ask for blessing upon this meeting and upon this time. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to share a few thoughts this afternoon on prayer. I had on my heart for some time, and then at lunchtime today we had a little discussion about prayer. So I'd like to look at a few verses in Scripture to give some guidance to us about the valueness of prayer. Matthew or Luke 18. It's a parable that that the Lord gave here. It's parallel is two thoughts. Sometimes they're side by side. One thought perhaps has a natural application, and the other side of the parable have a spiritual application to it. He spake a parable unto them in this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. He speaks here about an unjust judge that didn't fear God, or he didn't fear man. And so this woman came to him often, wanting revenge over something that had happened. And it's typical in the world, a way that people sometimes in authority act. They're self-serving. They want to promote themselves, and so they'll take the easiest way they can to get out of a situation. And we see that all around us today in the world, that people will cry onto the leaders because they want something, and the leaders sometimes will just give in after a while. They just get weary of it, and they give to the people what they want. But God doesn't work in that way. God is a righteous judge, and God weighs the situation of every prayer carefully, and he makes a decision based on his own righteousness. And God doesn't want any man to fear things. We're living in a day in which there's much fear. As the darkness closes in around us in North America, we see it more and more all the time. Men's hearts are fearful of what's going to happen. Are we going to be safe in a year from now if the Lord leaves us here? Are we going to be able to have conferences and come together like we do now? Are we fearful of those things? Well, we shouldn't be. We have the access to the throne of grace. God has made provision for us for prayer. God values our prayers. We're here today mainly, I believe, because of the prayers that have gone up in this land over a number of years, for a long, long time, to God for governments, that they would rule in the fear of God, and they would make good decisions, and decisions that would give us the rights that we enjoy, that we can carry on for the Lord, and that his word and so on would have liberty and all those things. And so, do we appreciate what we have? Are we really, I speak to my own self, are we really in prayer before God for the rulers? So let's look at Timothy, book of Timothy. It's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Perhaps it's 1 Timothy. Yes, 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 2. It says there that I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, sincere prayer, prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. For republicans, all that are in authority. Is that what it says? No. For kings, for all that are in authority. It doesn't say there for Democrats, for Republicans. I'm from Canada. Up there we have two-party system pretty well. There's a third party, but there's a Liberal Party and a what we call a Conservative Party. The Liberal Party would be what we would refer to as a Democratic Party in the U.S., and a Conservative Party would what we would call a Republican Party here. And so we have different people that God has placed in authority over us, and he's put them there to rule. And he would hope that they would rule in fear of God, that they would do right, and so on. And we hope that too as believers. We would pray to that end, that they might rule wisely in the fear of God, and that we should be able to continue on until the Lord should come with privileges that we enjoy as Christians. But oftentimes, we have to admit, it is politics with us too, isn't it? We have our favorites. We like the Republicans, some of us like the Democrats. Does that get in the way of our process of prayer? It shouldn't. We shouldn't be that way as believers. We should be looking at the authority, that authoritative system that God has put into place, as just authority that He has put there. We shouldn't be taking sides with it, even though we do. We're to pray for all, it says here. All that are in authority. That means every single person that's in a place of authority need our prayers. And why? Because the enemy is busy attacking those people that God has placed in authority. If he can bring them down, and so that they rule in a self-serving way, so that they rule unrighteously, so that they give in to immorality and lawlessness and all the other things that go with it, then that whole system of God's government is destroyed. Well, God is keeping a government. God is working, and whether we pray or not, God has his counsels, and God is going to bring about his purposes, but God answers prayer. And we are here today mainly because faithful Christians have been praying that we would have these liberties, that we would be able to enjoy these times that we have together. And so it says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That is what the outcome of it should be. Now we know that we have liberty to take the gospel and go with it. We have liberty in much things God has given to us, and it's not popular in this world. But yet, God is able to establish and to keep those doors open through the efforts of his own people by prayer. God hears our prayers. It says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. God delights that we should pray for all that are in authority. We should value what we have. As darkness rolls in and we get mixed up in politics and we try to improve things ourselves and we criticize and condemn government, what's going to be the outcome of all of that? We stop praying. Why, the darkness is going to creep even faster than it is. And so we need to be in prayer. It says in Ephesians, let's look there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's Satan's realm. That's where he works. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan is out to hinder the counsels of God wherever he can. He can't stop them, but he likes to hinder them. And so he works in those that God has placed in authority. So they need our prayers. They need us to bear them up before God. They may be unjust. They may not fear God. They may not fear man. They may not be doing it themselves. But it's our responsibility as believers to bear these ones up, that we might continue to enjoy our lives, quiet, peaceable lives, to go on for the Lord in all godliness and honesty before Him. I was thinking of a few times in Scripture where it's mentioned about case with Daniel. He prayed for his own people. He went into mourning, really, for 21 days, 3 weeks. He didn't eat any food or drink or anything. He was so concerned about his own people that he prayed to the Lord. And finally an angel came and told Daniel that, yes, from the very first day, Daniel, that thou prayed, God heard your prayer. But I was hindered. I was hindered in coming to tell you the message from God. King of Persia withstood the angel, and the angel had to get help from Michael, another angel, archangel, to deliver the message. And so they worked through the king of Persia. Satan works through those that God has placed in authority wherever he can to hinder the counsels and the work of God. Well, perhaps there are things that in your own life, in my life, that we prayed about and maybe haven't got an answer as yet. Doesn't mean to say we should stop praying. We should continue to pray until we receive an answer. God will answer our prayers. It may be a while. There was something that my wife and I had a great concern about in our children, and we prayed for years for our children. And we both got an answer from the Lord, a favorable answer from the Lord. That is a promise. But we haven't seen the result of that promise yet, but I know the Lord will fulfill it. And so we wait. It may be after, if I'm left here long enough, it may be after I'm with the Lord in glory that the Lord answers a prayer. I don't know. All I know, I take God at his word, and he's made the promise, and we wait for his time to fulfill it. And there's perhaps others here that have been praying for certain things, and you've gotten discouraged and given up. Don't give up. Don't give up. God hears your prayer. I think sometimes we pray for things and the Lord wants us to own our failure in what we are praying for. And I believe that's what it was in my own case. I failed many times as a parent, and the Lord had me over time to own all that out, lay it all out before him, my failures. And that's what he wants to hear. He wants to hear about us, about why did things turn out the way they did. And we have to own our own failure. Nehemiah, when he prayed before the Lord. He laid everything out before the Lord about his own people, Israel. But Nehemiah took responsibility in it. He took blame for it before God. And Nehemiah's prayer was 4 months before actually it was answered. But it was answered in a most marvelous way. They were let go from Babylon, and they had everything they needed to go back to Israel and rebuild the city, the temple, and so on. And so don't give up on prayer. Let's look at a verse in Peter, book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is really what we need to do in verse 6. Is humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time. And then it mentions casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him. Why does it say casting all your cares upon him? Now the Lord knows, he says, casting all your care. He knows that we're going to have more than one care. Sometimes during the day I might have a half a dozen cares that I'm concerned about. Things that might take the car in, have it checked, as a care. I want to make sure that they do a good job and the car comes back to me safe. That's a care. You may be in school. Maybe there's someone that's a bully. That's a care to you at school. Maybe you're in college and you're writing papers, and that's a care to you. And maybe you're a senior citizen like I am, and you've got a doctor's appointment. Well, that's another care. And so we're faced with cares all the time, no matter what age that we're in, we have cares. And but it doesn't say cares, does it? It says care. That's because the Lord knows we're going to have cares, but he doesn't allow us to have more than one at a time. Casting all your care, singular, upon him. He doesn't want us to go around with a whole burden of cares. And sometimes that's what we do, don't we? We let them pile up. We let them pile up, and then it's a weight that we're carrying around, all these different things. And so if we would just, as they come up, to cast that care upon the Lord, and casting it means to get rid of it. Once we cast it to the Lord, we don't have to worry about it again. Now, I'm guilty of that. I've cast the cares of the Lord before and then fretted about it and then tried to maybe use my own intelligence and wisdom to try to fix things up myself. But really and truly, the way this verse is just to leave it with the Lord. If we can learn to do that, we have a peace then about it. We can just say, well, the Lord will look after. He knows just what to do, and he does. And so it mentions in another place, and I think its reason for this is to be instant in prayer. That is, we should be ready to be instantaneous when a care comes up, just to lay it out before the Lord. Another verse is, pray without ceasing. The attitude of prayer, just to be always in that attitude of prayer when something comes up, and just commit it to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to go about dealing with this problem, but I know that you can look after it, and you'll show me exactly what your mind is in it. And so we can, as believers, we're able to do these things. It says we should do this because it says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, and so on. So the enemy of our souls is looking. He's walking through this earth, and he's looking for little openings where he can come in and seek to upset us, to get us off the pathway, to trip us up, and to hinder our walk. And that way there he can dishonor the Lord, and that's what he likes to do. And so these few thoughts I would just like to leave with you on prayer. They've certainly been a help to me, and I hope that they'll be a help to each one here.